The Washington Post reported yesterday that President Clinton has issued new guidelines on U.S. nuclear weapons policy. The United States is reportedly no longer focusing on winning a nuclear conflict, as it did during the Cold War. Instead, the government views the U.S. atomic arsenal as a deterrent to chemical and biological attacks. News analyst Daniel Shore says the superpowers have been struggling with their nuclear policy for five decades.
In time of peace, prepare for war, goes the old dictum. But what kind of war to prepare for has been a stressful subject for both superpowers since the dawn of the nuclear age. In 1946, when America enjoyed a nuclear monopoly, Premier Stalin said, "Atomic bombs are meant to frighten those with weak nerves, but they cannot decide the outcome of war." After Stalin's death in 1953, bitter ideological battles broke out when reformers like Georgi Malenkov and Nikita Khrushchev, laying the groundwork for disarmament and coexistence, took the position that the Soviet Union could be destroyed in a nuclear war. Mutually assured destruction has been the general assumption among military planners on both sides, but the number of warheads in the targeting continue to rest on the possibility of a protracted nuclear exchange that would leave both countries a wasteland. The Eisenhower administration, responding to Soviet superiority in conventional forces in Europe, announced that a conventional attack might trigger a nuclear response. That was when the word brinksmanship associated with Secretary of State John Foster Dulles was born. As the Cold War began to wind down, Presidents Reagan and Gorbachev at their 1985 summit agreed that a nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought. That, in effect, contradicted the Reagan directive of 1981, requiring that U.S. forces must prevail even under the conditions of a long war. It has taken 12 years since the Geneva summit to produce a presidential decision directive that permits arms reductions and retargeting based on the premise of the unwinnable nuclear war, and also dealing with a new threat of weapons of mass destruction in the hands of so-called rogue states. That issue arose during the Gulf War, when President Bush wrote Saddam Hussein implicitly threatening a nuclear response to any use of chemical or biological weapons against American forces. But in 1995, the U.S. joined Britain, China, Russia, and France in a pledge not to use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear countries. The new directive is being very closely held because it deals with sensitive subjects like nuclear targeting in currently friendly countries like Russia and China, and because it contains guidelines for the use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear powers like Iraq. But the four-page document apparently reflects a shift in emphasis to deterrence of a major nuclear war rather than planning for one. And the conditions under which nuclear weapons could be employed against a non-nuclear state launching chemical or biological attacks. This is Daniel Shore.